Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, April 23, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. We're in that great paragraph, verses 28 to 32. It was so special in the eyes of the Orthodox Jews that they made it a whole new chapter. Chapter 3, 1 through 5 in the Hebrew text. Joel 2, 28 to 32. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, most of you, if not all of you, get the prayer list, and you know that Cliff Abbott went in for open heart surgery today. It was a 5-hour surgery, and I just, he wanted to let you all know, thank you all very much for your prayers. The surgery went phenomenal. They went in and took out his old valve and put in a new valve. They repaired the aneurysm. And they even, he had trouble with AFib in the past, and the doctor knew what part of the heart causes that. And the doctor, while he's in there, cut that part of the heart out so that he doesn't have AFib. It went spectacular. And so he'll probably be running hurdles here, definitely spiritual hurdles. He's going to be in for a while, but thank you all for your prayers. It went fantastic. There is a satanic evil that is spreading through the United States of America. It's not only spreading through the United States of America, it's spreading all over planet Earth. It is a satanic, vicious evil. And it is a part of Satan's strategy. He has a strategy to try to win the angelic conflict. And if he can destroy Israel, if he can destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, he'll win the angelic conflict. And that's why you see on the news, all you see on the news, at universities, young people all over the United States of America shouting anti-Semitic slogans and sayings. They hate Israel. The young people in this country hate Israel. The young people in this country hate the Jewish people. They think exactly like Hamas thinks. And it will destroy America. We will be removed as a client nation to God. Anti-Semitism is a satanic, vicious evil. And you know from the Word of God, you ought to know, don't any of you ever, ever, ever hate Israel or the Jewish people. As soon as you get into that kind of thinking, you're the devil's disciple. You're the devil's disciple. You're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're the devil's disciple. Don't ever, ever, ever develop hatred toward Israel or the Jewish people. Hal Lindsey's article, April 21st, An Ancient Evil Reborn in Today's America. On a spectacularly beautiful September morning in 2001, hijacked planes struck the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon in Washington. The bloodlust of radical Islam needlessly took the lives of thousands. And briefly, America woke up. That short-lived awakening was purchased at a terrible cost. But while it lasted, it was amazing. People from sea to shining sea realized again what it meant to be Americans. They didn't suddenly become blind to the nation's shortcoming, but they also saw what was rare and precious in the American spirit. And then the nation drifted back into slumber. And while the people slept, an ancient evil rose among them. At the beginning of this millennium, most people, including Jewish Americans, thought that anti-Semitism had mostly been banished from the land. But after 9/11, against all reason, it started growing again. And today it manifests itself everywhere in our land. Young people speak anti-Semitic slogans. We can see it in the signs and hear it in the chants on college campuses all over America and in the streets. Young people, most of them born after 9/11, 2001, today they sing out the ideologies of our 2001 enemy. Today the young people in America are shouting, "Death to America! shouting, there's only one solution, intifada, revolution. Shouting, long live Hamas. Shouting, death to the Jews. And they compare those who disagree with them to the Ku Klux Klan. But who would agree more with the chant, death to the Jews, than the Ku Klux Klan? These pitiful young people in America have become the thing they decry. They warn us of their intent, saying, the 7th of October is going to be every day for you. They often cry out, we are Hamas. If they are Hamas, it means they want to kill Jews and Christians. Their hate has nothing to do with so-called colonization. It is all about hatred for the people of the Bible. And the people of the Bible are the Jews and the Christians. By claiming to be Hamas, campus radicals are actually saying that they want to murder your babies. They want to burn your homes. They want to behead and mutilate you. They want to rape you, take hostages, and then keep on raping. That's what October 7th was all about. And that's what our young people are praising. If they are Hamas, they want to replace democracy with a theocratic ruling elite. Hamas leaders have not held an election in Gaza since they came to power in 2006. Gaza's Hamas overlords ended all women's rights, destroyed freedom of religion, criminalized freedom of speech, and they have done their best to end freedom of thought. They murder homosexuals, a group whose cause most of these young people consider dear to their hearts. The control Hamas exercises over its subjects knows no limits. They tell women exactly what clothes they can wear and what they can't wear. Anti-Semitism is just one aspect of the ancient evil. It can be described more generally as open rebellion against God. God loves people. And we have seen that God is virtue love. 1 John 4. But this ancient evil, anti-Semitism, hates people. God chose one people, the Jewish people, for the task of presenting himself, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. And how did he come into the world? A Jew! In his true humanity. The Savior of the world is a Jew in his true humanity. Presenting himself to the world through his words and the Word. So the evil does everything it can to engender hatred against God's chosen nation, Israel. and especially toward a Jew called Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate. What is the answer? Well, for you, stay positive. Stay positive. Stay positive and have the humility to consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound Bible teaching church. Be faithful. If you are a Christian, draw close to the Lord. Pray fervently. Study His Word. Stand as a friend to Israel. And not that Israel can do no wrong. They can. And sometimes they do. But in all that, remember God's Word. Israel is what God says that it is. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Zechariah 2, verse 8. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Don't ever, ever, ever become anti-Semitic or develop a hatred for Israel or the Jews. And that's all we are seeing all over America by the young people in this country. And it spells the destruction of the United States of America as a client nation to God. Joel chapter 2. This great, well, in the Hebrew text, it's a separate chapter. A whole chapter to itself. Joel chapter 3, 1 through 5. But in our Bible, Joel 2, 28 to 32. Joel 2, 28 and 29, the millennial kingdom will be a time of great spirituality, great ecstatics. Joel 2, 30 and 31 tells us when this will take place. Joel 2, 32 gives the qualifications for entering the millennial kingdom. God has promised in the prophetic scriptures that a golden age is coming, the millennial kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of David, ruling planet Earth from Jerusalem, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, here on planet Earth. I've given the gospel to some people. They said, well, if Jesus Christ were here and I could see Him, then I might believe in you. You know what? He's going to be here again. He was here the first time and they crucified Him. So that's a lie that people use. He's going to come back the next time. And you know, in the millennial kingdom, perfect environment, world peace, absolute righteousness and justice, great prosperity. And at the end of the millennium, the number of unbelievers on the earth who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ are like the sand on the seashore. In that 1,000-year period, because you see the believers who are rescued by Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation, only believers go into the millennium, but they go in with physical bodies. They procreate. They have children. And the children are born physically alive, spiritually dead. And they need regeneration. They need to be born again. They need to place their faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. But by the end of that 1,000 years, the number of unbelievers will be like the sand on the seashore. And Jesus Christ is ruling. He's right here, ruling. They see the King of Kings. They see the Lord of Lords. They're living, you can't blame environment. The environment is perfect. Great prosperity. And they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So this golden age will be a time of perfect environment. It will be a time when war and famine and flood and disease will be no more. This golden age will be a time of world peace. And this golden age will not be brought about by man. It won't be brought about by the Democrats. It won't be brought about by the Republicans. It won't be brought about by the pedestrians. That covers everybody. But only by the Lord Jesus Christ at His second advent, the day of the Lord. And this golden age is called the millennial kingdom. Joel 2:28-29 says, "And it will come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind." Every, only believers go into the millennium, on every single person. "And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. And even on the male and female slaves and servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days in the millennial kingdom." In the millennial kingdom, God the Holy Spirit will be manifested in all of His fullness. The ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the millennial kingdom will be much greater than during any other period of human history. And a part of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the millennium will also include His restraining ministry. Because you have these believers in human bodies procreating, having children, and they're born physically alive but spiritually dead, God the Holy Spirit, restraining ministry, restraining sin and human good and evil, providing perfect environment and minimal crime, that'll be going on in the millennial kingdom. Satan is also in prison. He's imprisoned in the abyss throughout the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, Revelation 21-3. And therefore, Satan is no longer the ruler of planet Earth. He's in prison. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler of planet Earth. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is the ruler of the world, Revelation 24-6. And therefore, since Satan is in prison, there's no spiritual counterfeit, because demonic activity is non-existent. Satan's in prison. The remnant of believers who are rescued and delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent will go into the millennial kingdom in their human bodies, but still having old sin natures. And they will give birth to children who are born physically alive and spiritually dead. They are born in spiritual death. And therefore, they need to be born again, regeneration, through faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. They are living in the millennial kingdom with perfect environment, perfect prosperity, world peace, perfect health, perfect righteousness, perfect justice. And they're living where they can see Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And yet multitudes and multitudes will refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Like the sand on the seashore, Revelation 27-8. God the Holy Spirit will be the power for every aspect of the believer's life during the millennium. Ezekiel 36, 27 and 28. There will be spiritual unity. God the Holy Spirit will be manifested in every aspect of the believer's life and fellowship. And this will result in a grace-righteous life, great inner happiness and peace, which is manifested in worship and praise directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit will give the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge to rule the world with righteousness and perfect justice. And the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Isaiah 11, 1 to 9. For the believer, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a great celebration, great happiness. The golden age is here. But for the unbeliever, the second advent will be a time of terrifying judgment, the baptism of fire. And therefore, that ought to motivate you and me, all of us. We have an obligation and a responsibility as royal ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ to present the good news of the grace gospel to those who are lost. Now, Joel 2, verses 30 and 31 gives us the signs, the miraculous signs preceding the day of the Lord, specifically the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. Verse 30, "And I will display miraculous signs in the heavens and in the earth." The miraculous signs that will occur in the heavens are given in verse 31. The miraculous signs that will occur in the earth are now given in the rest of verse 30. And we ended with miraculous sign number one last week, which is Dom. It's like dam, but it's Dom. And that's the word blood. Blood is the first miraculous sign. And blood describes the horrific judgment of human life on planet Earth in the day of the Lord, the Great Tribulation. When the fourth seal judgment is opened, 1/4 of the world population will be killed, Revelation 6, 7, and 8. At the second trumpet judgment, 1/3 of the sea creatures will turn into blood. The sea will turn into blood, and 1/3 of the living creatures in the sea will die, Revelation 8, 8 and 9. At the sixth trumpet judgment, 1/3 of mankind will be killed, Revelation 9, 13 to 21. At the second bowl judgment, the remaining sea will turn to blood, causing all sea creatures to die, Revelation 16, 3. In the Armageddon campaign, blood will reach to the horses' bridles, 4.5 feet deep for a distance of 180 miles. Revelation 14, 19 and 20, Revelation 16, 12 to 16. The blood also refers to the slaughter of believers in the day of the Lord by the Antichrist and ecumenical religion. You see, during that tribulation, tribulation starts out with unbelievers only. But the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, they will be giving the grace gospel all over the world. And many will believe in Christ as their Savior. But they also will be martyred, most of them. Most of them will be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ by the Antichrist and by ecumenical religion, Revelation 17, 1 through 6. So the first miraculous sign is blood. That brings us to miraculous sign number two, Miraculous sign number two is Aish. Looks like that. Aleph, E-S-H, Aish. And Aish is the Hebrew word for fire. So, one, fire will devastate the earth in the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. Fire will devastate the earth in the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. Two, when the seventh seal judgment is opened, fire will be hurled on the earth. When the seventh seal judgment is opened, fire will be hurled on the earth. Turn over to Revelation chapter 8. Oops. I'm going to be careful. I might get on fire for the Lord and blow your eardrums out here. Romans chapter 8. Not Romans. Romans. See, that's the problem. Here I'm in Romans on Sunday. I'm a different class every... If I say Romans, then, you know, I just... feel sorry for this poor old pastor up here. Got all these different books I'm in. And like when I came today, I wasn't studying Joel. I finished Joel. I'm studying the next Old Testament book. So I'm surprised I haven't said that yet. I haven't. And it's fantastic. I almost finished the first chapter of the next Old Testament book we'll be studying. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Still $1 million out there for anybody who gets the right one. Revelation 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence. Silence in heaven for about half an hour. Nobody said anything. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. So when the seventh seal judgment is opened, fire will be hurled on planet Earth. Three, at the first trumpet judgment, one-third of the earth is burned up. One-third of the trees are burned up. All the green grass is burned up. And that's Revelation 8, verse 7. Revelation 8, 7. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And it was hurled down upon the earth. One-third of the earth was burned up. One-third of the trees were burned up. and all the green grass was burned up. Point four. At the second trumpet judgment, something like a huge mountain, all on fire, was thrown into the sea. At the second trumpet judgment, something like a huge mountain of fire was thrown into the sea. And one third of the sea turned into blood. One third of the living creatures in the sea died. And one third of the ships were destroyed. And this is Revelation 8:8-9. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. And one third of the sea turned into blood, and one third of the living creatures in the sea died, and one third of the ships were destroyed. Point five. At the third trumpet judgment, a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on one third of the rivers and the springs of water, making one third of the fresh water supply of planet Earth unfit for human consumption, and many people will die. So at the third trumpet judgment, a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky, and one third of the rivers and springs of water, making one third of the fresh water supply of the earth unfit for human consumption, and many will die. Revelation 8:10-11. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on one third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and one third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Point six. At the fourth bowl judgment, the sun will be given power to scorch people with fire on planet Earth. At the fourth bowl judgment, the sun will be given power to scorch people with fire on planet Earth. Revelation 16. Revelation 16, verses 8 and 9. Revelation 16, verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify Him. They cursed God, but they refused to change their thinking and believe in the living and true God, Jesus Christ. So, The first miraculous sign on planet Earth, blood. The second miraculous sign on planet Earth, fire. Now that brings us to miraculous sign number three. Columns of smoke. This is the conjunction vav prefixed to the plural construct timara plus the noun ashan. Timara. T long I M A R A H. Timara. A couple of things on this word. First of all, literally, timara means a column. Literally, it means a column. Point two, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, page 1,071. Do you have any books in your library that has 1,000 pages in it? I do. Back at Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Over 1,000 pages, and the print is very small, and there's no pictures. Some of you would throw that away in a heartbeat. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 1,071, says that this specifically describes a palm-like column. Now, you understand this. We got palm trees all over. It describes a palm-like column spreading out at the top. A palm-like column spreading out at the top. Three, this perfectly describes a mushroom cloud from a nuclear explosion. It perfectly describes a mushroom cloud from a nuclear explosion. And you know what that looks like. Four, Ashan I-N-A-S-H-A-N, Ashan, is the Hebrew word for smoke. Five, therefore these columns of smoke spread out at the top like nuclear explosions. Therefore, these columns of smoke spread out at the top like nuclear explosions. And there will be on planet Earth in the Great Tribulation nuclear explosions. Six, this perfectly describes the destruction of the ecumenical religious system of the tribulation. This perfectly describes the destruction of the ecumenical religious system of the tribulation. And that ecumenical religious system will be nuked and destroyed. Turn over to Revelation chapter 17. Well, we should be pretty close. We were just in 60. Revelation 17, verse 15. We studied the last time the ecumenical religious system, Revelation 17, 1 through 6. Now, Revelation 17, starting at verse 15. Then the angel said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute, ecumenical religion, sits are the peoples, the multitudes, the nations, and the languages all over planet Earth, all the people and nations will be worshiping the ecumenical religious system. They'll be a part of it. Verse 16, the beast, the Antichrist, and the ten horns, the revived Roman Empire you saw, will hate the prostitute, will hate this ecumenical religious system. And they want to destroy it. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Again, describing what happens in a nuclear explosion. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast, the Antichrist, their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. And the woman, ecumenical religion you saw, is the great city that rules over the kings of planet Earth. Now, look at Revelation 18, verse 1. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great," the ecumenical religious system of the tribulation. "She has become a home for demons, and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations on planet Earth have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries, cosmic involvement. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her ecumenical religious system. And the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxury." And then look over at verse 8. Therefore, in one day, that's the suddenness of this divine judgment, in one day, her plagues will overtake her. Death, mourning and famine, she will be consumed by fire. For mighty is the Lord who judges her. Verse 9. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, the mushroom cloud from being nuked, they will weep and mourn over her, terrified at her torment. They will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power. In one hour, your doom has come." 1 hour, this ecumenical religious system was nuked by the Antichrist and removed. And then verse 16. Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off when they see the smoke of her burning, the nuclear destruction of this ecumenical religious system. They will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads, and with weeping and mourning, they will cry out. They're weeping and crying because they were making oodles and oodles of loot money from this religious system. Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour, she has been brought to ruin. Nuked. Then turn over to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute, ecumenical religion, who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servant." Ecumenical religion is responsible for killing Christians all over planet Earth in the Great Tribulation. "He has avenged on her the blood of his servants," the death of believers in the tribulation. "And again they shouted, 'Hallelujah!' The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." Nuked out of existence. The third miraculous sign, columns of smoke. 7. The most graphic picture of smoke is described with the fifth trumpet judgment. The most graphic picture of smoke is described with the fifth trumpet judgment, which is smoke rising from the abyss. And this smoke rising from the abyss will be so dense that it will darken the atmosphere, blotting out the light of day. And this smoke releases from the abyss. The abyss is a barracks, a prison, a barracks. And the first demon assault army will be released from the abyss. They are under the command of a demon, Abaddon. And Abaddon is Satan's right-hand man. His right-hand demon is Abaddon. And his name means destruction. And that is seen in Revelation chapter 9. So turn over to Revelation 9. Revelation 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star, this is Satan, that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star, Satan, was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts. These locusts are the first demon assault army. Demons came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree. See, they're environmentalists, these demons. But only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads, unbelievers, They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts, this demon assault army, they look like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the abyss, Satan's right-hand man, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in Greek, his name is Apollyon. And that translated means destruction. So, point eight, emerging from the smoke of the abyss will come an unspeakable judgment of demonic spirits possessing horrific bodies, which will be used to torment unbelievers on the earth. Emerging from the smoke of the abyss will come an unspeakable judgment of demonic spirits possessing horrific bodies, which will be used to torment unbelievers on the earth. So, that concludes the miraculous signs on planet Earth. Verse 30, and I will display miraculous signs in the heavens and in the earth. The signs on the earth: miraculous sign number one, blood. Miraculous sign number two, fire. Miraculous sign number three, columns of smoke. Nuclear destruction of ecumenical religion. Now, that brings us to verse 31. And in verse 31, we have the miraculous signs in the heavens. And there are two miraculous signs in the heavens that are given in verse 31. And we will start there next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and a happiness in knowing that we are related to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray, amen.